It was as though they saw themselves as a band of brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And that is exactly what they were. That's exactly what we are.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
I would suggest that every one of us need to respond to the life-transforming message of the gospel, the message which transformed the life of the Apostle Paul, and the message which tremendously transformed multitudes of people in Thessalonica and provided for the erection of a New Testament local church. Every one of us need to respond to the life-transforming message of the gospel, and then we need to identify with a local church which propagates and proclaims faithfully that message. As we look at the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians, Paul gives two basic insights in this first chapter that I think will motivate us to do this and encourage us to do this and give us some reasons as to why we ought to do it. Two basic insights in chapter 1, just in terms of an overall outline of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. I see, first of all, a message proclaimed to the Thessalonians. That's verses 1 to 4. And then I see, secondly, a model portrayed by the Thessalonians. And that'll be particularly relevant to us as we gain a little insight into a model church. The message that is proclaimed to them is in verses 1 to 4, and it's kind of a twofold thing. There's a word of salutation. That is, there was a greeting. That's verse 1. And then, beyond that, there was a word of commendation in verses 2 to 4. We won't look at that today. We only want to look at verse 1. And we'll analyze that word of commendation in some detail next week. First, there was a word of salutation. Notice that in verse 1, Paul and Silvanus, or Paul and Silas, and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are a couple things I want to mention about this. I want to mention to you the author, Paul. He addresses himself to the church. And then I want to mention to you the audience. He writes to the church of the Thessalonians, geographically, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, theologically. Two designations. They have a heavenly and an earthly designation. Geographically, they're in Thessalonica. Theologically and spiritually, they're in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I want you to notice his affirmation, his announcement, his message to them, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, the author. It was the Apostle Paul, very significant personality. Timothy and Silas, I think, are included with Paul there in verse 1, because, as I said, they were with the Apostle Paul in Acts 17, verses 1 to 10, when the city of Thessalonica was evangelized. And when that New Testament church, that first New Testament church in Thessalonica, was erected and organized. But Paul was the man who composed the letter. And he did so under the superintendence of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Bible says, holy men of God spake. Paul was one of those holy men of God, one of those authors of the Word of God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved or borne along by the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. And God revealed a message to the Apostle Paul, which he conveyed to the Thessalonian Christians. And there was a very accurate reception and recording and transmission of that message, because Paul was under the unique superintendence of the Holy Spirit as he wrote. Now, do you notice the audience to which Paul writes? There's the author, Paul. And then he writes, he says, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if I could say just a couple of things there. A characterization of the audience and a communication to the audience. The characterization, they're called the church of the Thessalonians. What is the church? It's an interesting word. The Greek word is ekklesia. It means those who are called out. the called out ones. Ek means out. Kaleo means to call. Ekklesia, ekkaleo. Those who are called out. It's a term that's used 115 times in the New Testament. And almost exclusively, not exclusively, there are a few exceptions, but almost exclusively it's used of local bodies of believers in very precise geographical locations in various parts of the world. Historically, the term ecclesia meant this. Let me give it to you quickly. Historically, the term ecclesia meant, it described a group of individuals called out of a larger body, assembled together for the transaction of business. That's how it was used. It could be used in a civil sense, a town meeting, and it came to be used in a spiritual and a theological sense of Christians. It meant literally a group of individuals called out of a larger body and assembled together for the transaction of business. Actually, there are four ideas in the definition of a church. Can I give them to you very quickly? Based on that definition, that's precisely how the term was used and what it meant in the ancient world. A group of individuals called out of a larger body and assembled together for the transaction of business. There are four ideas in that definition. Let me give them to you very quickly. Number one, there is a petition there. We're called out ones. We're called out. We're called unto the Lord. God speaks to us, and He draws us toward Himself. In fact, we're taught in the Scripture, hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There's an invitation, there's a calling, there's a petition. God speaks to the heart. Maybe He's speaking to your heart. Maybe you know in the truest, in the most precise sense that you're not yet a Christian. You've never yet been born again. You know that's true. God is speaking to you. He's calling to you. He's giving you a petition. He's petitioning you. He's drawing you toward Himself. And what He's saying is this: "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And that, my friends, is an invitation which requires a response. And the Bible says that when we respond, the Bible says, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." John 6 and verse 37. The first step in being joined to a New Testament church is responding to the invitation for salvation. The Bible says that the Lord was adding to the church daily such as should be or such as were being saved. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. There is a petition. We're called out ones. But then beyond that, those of us who've been joined to the body of Christ and have been joined to a local manifestation of that, a local New Testament church, we've responded to that invitation. There was a sense in which the voice of God came to our hearts and said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And we responded. And we found that when we responded, He met our needs. He took up residence within us. He made us His children. We became members of Christ's body, and then we joined a New Testament local church. There's not only a petition there, however, there's also a parting. See if you can follow me in this now, this definition of a church. There's a petition, we're called out ones, but there's also a parting. We're called out of a larger body. What that means to me is this, that the true Christian leaves the world system behind as he purposes to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He's called out of that larger body. He leaves the world system behind. When Jesus saves us, the Bible says He saves us from our sins, not in them. "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." In other words, the church is to be an oasis of godliness in a desert of godlessness. It's to be an island of holiness in a sea of paganism. There's a parting. There's a petition. We're called out. There's a parting. We're called out of a larger body, out of the world system, and we're called unto Christ. And then there's a partnership. You notice in that definition, it described a group of people who were called out of a larger body and assembled together. There's a partnership. We're assembled together. The New Testament church possessed the great quality of togetherness. It was as though they saw themselves as a band of brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And that is exactly what they were. That's exactly what we are. They recognized the unifying love of Jesus Christ, and they allowed it to so work in their lives that the barriers came down. The New Testament church became a haven of love and oneness in an arid wilderness of bitterness and division. You see, the church is a fellowship of love. That's what God intended for it to be. A partnership assembled together. There's to be that spirit of togetherness, of oneness. The church is a fellowship of love, a powerful alternative to the hostility and the division in the world all around us. And then number four, there's a petition, we're called out. There's a parting, we're called out of the larger body. That is, we're called out of the world system. There's a partnership, we're assembled together. There's that spirit of togetherness, that fellowship of love, that oneness. And then there's a purpose. And the purpose is the transaction of business. That's what the New Testament ecclesia did. It transacted business, and the business was the work of God. The church is God's primary tool for carrying out God's business on earth. And it's the greatest business in all the world. Do you know what we're to be doing? At least in a threefold sense, this is what we're to be doing. The church is involved, number one, in the propagation of the truth. I hope you're involved in that. The church, which is you, people, called out of the larger body, assembled together and doing God's work. People who felt the moral and spiritual dynamic of salvation. They've experienced what it means to be saved. And now they're assembled together in a New Testament church, carrying out the work of God. And first in that is we're to be involved in the propagation of the truth. And that's what Paul says right here in this book. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord." It's to be involved in the propagation of the truth. Then the church is to be involved in the personification of the truth. Not only are we to proclaim it, we're to personify it. The Bible says the manifold wisdom of God is made known by the church. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10. We're to be living demonstrations of the truth. That's what God wants from every one of us who name the name of Christ. And then it's to be involved in the preservation of the truth. Not only propagation of the truth, not only the personification of the truth, but also the preservation of the truth. Paul could say, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. I think those are all the kinds of ideas that Paul had in mind when he said that the church of the living God is the pillar and the ground of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Now that's what Paul wrote to. In the mind of Paul, he had a deep reverence for the New Testament church. And every one of us ought to have it as well. That body of individuals called out of a larger body, assembled together and transacting the business of the Lord, the propagation, the personification, and the preservation of the truth.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Peace is that inward sense of wholeness, that prosperity in the widest sense, but especially in the spiritual areas of our lives.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.